Join us now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Today's message was preached during a Sunday morning worship service, December 29, 1991. Following the reading of the scripture from Psalm 148, our speaker will be the late Chancellor of BJU, Dr. Bob Jones, Jr. The title of his message is, "The Lord of Hosts is with Us."
I call your attention this morning to Psalm 148. We will turn and read this psalm for the satisfaction to our souls of this bread from heaven. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise ye Him, all His angels. Praise ye Him, all His hosts. Praise ye Him, sun and moon. Praise ye Him, all ye stars of light. Praise Him, ye heavens of heavens, ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded, and they were created. He hath also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind, fulfilling His word. Mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl. Kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. He also exalteth the horn of His people, the praise of all His saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto Him. Praise ye the Lord. I trust that God will be pleased and glorified by the praise that we offer Him from our hearts. Will you turn, please, to number 519, and we will sing the first and last stanzas of "Now Thank We All Our God."
Another year lies forming within the womb of time, a year of joy and sorrows, of walking in valleys or climbing mountains that are bright with sunlight. It's always hard to know what to say on a New Year occasion, But I can think of no better text than one that is in the 46th Psalm. Twice it appears. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. The Lord of hosts. You'll find as you search out the word of God that the Lord is represented as the Lord of hosts, plural. Elsewhere, the word appears as host, the host of Satan, the host of men, but the Lord is the Lord of hosts. What a multiplicity of forces he controls. Now, host has a double meaning. It can mean a great number, or it can mean a mighty army. And in the case of the Lord, it means both. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of battles is with us. Remarkable thing. It's said that someone in the cabinet said to Mr. Lincoln during the Civil War, "Mr. President, do you wonder if God is on our side?" And it said, and I think this is an apocryphal story, that Mr. Lincoln replied, "The important thing is to say, are we on God's side?" But God is always on the side of his own. The Lord of hosts is with us. Amazing how he stoops to associate himself with mortal men formed of clay, creatures of the earth, the very breath of their life coming from him, and every heartbeat from his hand. And this God, who has eternity in which to dwell, dwells in our hearts. He is with us, the Lord of hosts. The heavenly bodies are described as his hosts. "Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath chosen these things, that bringeth out their hosts in number? He calleth them all by name, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth." The heavenly hosts, there they are. Interesting how the scripture speaks of the heavenly hosts as hosts of power, meaning these heavenly bodies that we see, that we can gaze upon and some that stretch far beyond the power of our eyes to reach. Suns and stars and planets, and they are all his, and he keeps them in their places, and by his power he upholds them. And he who is with them in their courses is with us in ours. As we move here and serve him, his might is available to us. And we stand each one upheld by his word. Who can face with any fear a new year coming with the assurance that it's all in his will and according to his plan, because we are his? He made us, but he made us twice. He made us of the earth, earthy, and then he made us of his spirit, his sons and daughters, the children of his care, the sheep of his pasture, and the people of his hand. And as the stars in their courses move in his service, so should we. I believe very strongly that there are in the heavenly bodies more powers toward us than we realize. I'll say more about that as we go along in the sermon. But these things made by him are a part of his host, one host of his. And these armies of heaven are the angelic beings with all of their orders, angels and archangels, cherubim, seraphim, they're all his host also. And taken together, they're plural, the hosts of the Lord. We've heard this verse quoted so often from Luke, Christmas time. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, not hosts, a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill to men. One of the angels came, one of the many, and then a multitude came of this heavenly host. We are commanded in the 103rd Psalm, bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his words. Bless ye the Lord, all his hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, the hosts of heaven. What does it say about him in these few words? They are strong, excel in strength, angelic beings. They do his commandments, and so should we. They listen to the voice of his word. Isn't that interestingly put? They do not just listen to his word, but they listen to the voice of his word, and in his word, they hear the divine voice. Higher criticism never listens to the voice of his word. Higher criticism may hear the words and try to untangle their meaning and discuss their origins and sources, but they never see in them the voice of God. It's his voice that speaks to us, and he directs these heavenly beings. They excel in strength. They listen to the voice of his words, eager for his commands, hanging like hummingbirds on hovering wings, ready to go here or there. They are his ministers, his servants, and in that service, they do what pleases him. Interesting. Some people can obey the person whom they work for, but they never do his pleasure. They do grudgingly that which is commanded they shall do. They serve as one who serves for the salary, who must do in their own way, not in the way of the master, the thing they're commanded to do, but not this heavenly host. They serve him to do his pleasure, to do it in his way. Listen to this from Daniel 4. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? What a God! What a God! He looks upon the creatures of the earth, upon us, esteemed as nothing, weak and feeble and incomplete, until we stand satisfied in his likeness. And all the hosts of heaven, the armies of heaven, follow his command, and he does as he pleases with them. And in the inhabitants of the earth, none can say, what are you doing? And none can say, hold back your hand and do another thing. And this God, who is powerful in the hosts of heaven and in the host of men on earth, this God is our God. And what a privilege it is to serve him and to bring pleasure to his heart. We should be very careful who come boldly into his presence this new year, to come also with great fear there. The binding tie he will not break, nor banish me apart. Yet I should greatly fear to bring grief to his heart. We come boldly clothed in the righteousness of Christ, into his presence, assured and accepted in the Beloved and robed in the righteousness that is the only acceptable garment to those who come before him. And yet we come with fear that we shall offend or cause him grief because we love him. And these hosts of heaven that serve him that they shall not do anything to displease him in their service. And this heavenly host accompanies God's people. In Exodus, the 12th chapter, it came to pass that all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. Notice that's plural. All the hosts of the Lord, that is, the people being led out with Moses. But more went out than those people that made up that great mass of Israelites. Compare these words in Exodus 7:4. But Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt and bring forth mine armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments, bringing out his people, the children of Israel, but bringing out also his armies, the unseen hosts of heaven, to guard them on the journey, to light the fiery cloud, to guide them in the darkness, to brood over them, to see they're fed with manna at God's command. My friend, he gives an angel charge over us, lest we strike our foot against a stone. We are borne up in angelic hands. The unseen host, the armies of the Lord encamp round about them that fear him and deliver them. We have a guardian angel, but we have an army encamped around, a heavenly army armed with all the power of omnipotence. And what power he has. The snows are his, the treasury of the ice, the lightning and the thunder, and all these obey him. And his angels encamp round about. When all the children of Israel came out, went forth out of the land of Egypt with their armies under the hand of Moses and Aaron. That reference is Numbers 33:1. And then we find in individual cases, as you go back to Genesis, and Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God went with him. We'll talk about him later when we come to the God of Jacob. But we're talking now about the hosts of the Lord. And the armies fight for God and for his people. And the armies, that's plural, which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. When he comes back in judgment and in terror, he'll be surrounded by the armies of the Lord. Do you remember when Joshua led the people of Israel across Jordan? Joshua went apart from the camp, and he saw a man fully armed, standing there, sword drawn. And Joshua said to him, "On whose side are you? On our side or the side of the enemy?" And this martial figure said, "No, as the captain of the Lord's hosts, am I come? Here I am. I'm on your side as you do the will of God. You don't command me. I fight above and beyond and entirely apart from you. But as you're doing my will, I fight in your behalf." That's the figure of the Lord Jesus Christ in his pre-incarnate appearance, armored, standing with sword drawn, the captain of the Lord's hosts, of this mighty army of heaven. And it shall come to pass that when Joshua went by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes, and behold, there stood a man armored with a sword. My friend, you never see the Lord's dealings if you go through sorrows with eyes cast down, looking toward the earth and weighing your own abilities and your own circumstances. It's when the eyes are lifted up that you see the drawn sword and the heavenly commander and recognize that the army of the Lord is there. He is with us. In Isaiah chapter 13, verses 3 and 5, we find these comforting words. I have commanded my sanctified ones, and I have also called my mighty ones for mine anger, even them that rejoice in my highness. The noise of a multitude in the mountains, like as of a great people. A tumultuous noise of the kingdoms of nations gathered together. The Lord of hosts ministereth, the hosts of the battle. They come from a far country, from the ends of the earth, the end of heaven, even the Lord and the weapons of his indignation to destroy the whole land. This is the picture of the final judgment of the Lord in the last great battle. And interestingly enough, he calls this visible host of heaven to that battle also. For we are told that the stars and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun and the moon shall be darkened. And the hosts of heaven that we see, these visible things, ally themselves with the mighty angels of battle in the day of God's destructive force, his judgment upon the earth. Let's look a moment at the commander of the hosts. He created them. They're all his. He's righteous in all his ways. In Revelation, the 19th chapter, we read, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. I'm amused sometimes about these people who say war's never justified and war's immoral. But my friend, not when it's God's war. For in righteousness he judgeth. He forms righteous opinions. And he's righteous in his indignation and his wrath and the judgment and the war he makes against those who rise against him. What a God he is. Righteous in judgment, and righteous in war, and righteous in might. And this God of hosts cares for his own. Though the waters thereof roar and are troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, there is a river, the streams whereof make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. And this mighty God will be exalted. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. And he's our God. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. God loves and chooses his people in spite of their weaknesses and in spite of their faults. He knows us. He looks inside. He knows our thoughts while they're still in process of development. He knows our hearts, our downsittings, our uprisings, our going outs, our coming in. He knows all these things. And he loves us still, for what he sees must oftentimes be unpleasing to him. to stop to think that God sees me as I am and loves and serves and is my refuge, and my lack is made full in Him, and my weakness is made strength in Him, and my thoughts are purified by Him, and God establishes a covenant with us in spite of that. He established a covenant with Jacob. He said to Jacob, "Behold, I am with thee, and I will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, and I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. I'm sending you out. I'm letting you go." Strange. He was fleeing from a brother whom he had not exactly wronged, but whom he had taken advantage of. He had deceived his father. He was a very weak man in many ways, but a very strong man in having his thing that he wanted to come to him by any means. A perfect Jesuit he was. He put upon his hand rough skins so that his blind father, when he touched him, would think he was his brother Esau, who was a hairy man. And he took the blessing. I've heard it said he stole the blessing. No, he didn't. He bought the blessing. But he desired it. He knew its value. If you know the value of God's will and God's purpose, and if you desire the best that God has for you, God looks with some approval on that. God doesn't justify our trying to get the best by unrighteous ways. But this man was a trickster and a deceiver. But nonetheless, God says, "I won't leave you till I brought you back." Thank God he did bring him back as he left the land. And he's covenanted with us too. "And I will give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou goest, and I will guide thee with mine eye. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. He'll give you what you should have. You'll get it in due time." How eager people are in these days to have everything at once. All the rich inheritance of a lifetime in their youth. And men will bankrupt themselves with debts to get in 1 year what they should expect to receive at the end of 20 or 30 if they've lived industrious lives. God says, "Don't be in a hurry. Wait. I'll covenant with you. I who do all things well will lead you in the way and guide you with mine eye." I love that expression, "guide you with mine eye." You ever see a faithful dog devoted to his master? The master doesn't have to say, "Go there," or "Go yonder." But the dog will watch his face, and he'll gather from the very eye of his master what the master wants him to do. That's the way we should keep our eyes upon him. He is our refuge in trouble. He secures us in the cleft of the rock, and he holds us when the winds blow. Oh, they'll come this year. I would be a fool to stand up here and say to you, "Don't worry, everything's going to be nice this new year." You'd know I was lying. You'd have no respect for me. And I'd think you were stupid to believe it if I should make some prophecy like that. There'll be trouble, cross winds and waves and tumultuous seas and hardships and financial difficulties and sorrows and troubles. Things you do not want, you'll receive, and things you would like to have, you won't be given. That's the way the new year always is. I look back over a good many now, and I've never seen a perfect one yet. But I've seen a perfect God who deals perfectly in all the circumstances of life. After all, you are surrounded by the circumstances, but you don't live in the circumstances. You live in the Lord's hand. The circumstances are incidental. God dealt with this man, Jacob, rather harshly one night. He wrestled with him all night long. And determined man that he was, Jacob never turned loose. Jacob said, I want you to bless me. He knew he was a supernatural creature that he wrestled with. He got the blessing finally, but he got a lame hip with it. So he'd remember where the blessing came from. And when he went across the brook Jabbok the next day to face his brother, he limped upon his thigh. He got the blessing all right, but oh, how he had to wrestle for it in the night. And he never did get the name he asked for, but he had the evidence of the being that bore the name. My friend, it's wonderful to know all the names of God, but it's much more wonderful to trust in his name and not hearing the name still know in dark hours when heaven seems to be as brass that we're still in the hollow of his hand, and though we are marked by the trials and the struggles as he tries to bring us to the humility that we need. And out of that struggle he came no longer Jacob, but Israel, the Prince of God. The refining fires make pure the gold, and the struggles in the night equip us for the meetings we dread tomorrow. And how he dreaded to meet that brother. But Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God had met him as he came into the land before the night of wrestling. And he named the place Mahanaim, for the angels of God had been there. Strange how often they were around this man Jacob. He saw them going up and down a stairway to heaven. Top of the stair was God the Father as he slept that night at Bethel. And then they met him when he came back into the land. And they were with him all the time he was gone. How badly mistreated he was by a father-in-law who lied to him. But it's well to remember, too, that this God who is our refuge is God the Avenger also. And his children cannot be touched without God being touched with anger as his children are mistreated. Laban gave him the wrong daughter after he'd labored 7 years for the other one. And he took it. He labored another 7 years and got the other daughter. And then he had an agreement with his father-in-law that all the sheep which were speckled and striped would be his. And the Lord gave him a great number, more than the other kind that went to his father-in-law. His father-in-law tried to cheat him in that matter. And finally, he left with his wives, stole away in secret. And God avenged all this upon him in the prosperity he gave him. Listen to me. No man ever wins by cheating in the long run in dealing with God or with men. And God will avenge the wrongs done to his own with prosperity and blessing. He strives, he avenges, and this God who is our God, we meet face to face. We know the blessing, and we do not need to ask his name, for we are hiding in him. And his very name is the source of our strength and our blessing. I could not face one day without the assurance that he is my God and I am his. It could be there's somebody here this morning that has no such assurance. You're a stranger to him. You've never met him. You've heard him talked about, but you don't know him. I hear lots of people talked about I don't know, and some I don't want to know. But what a privilege to know him who is the God of glory and our refuge. But his invitation is extended to you. If you will put your trust in him, you'll find in him all you ever need and all you want. And you can, in the midst of war, be at peace. In the midst of strife, be at ease. And in the midst of hardships, be rejoicing. He wants you to have all he can give to you, and it's all in Jesus Christ. And he that has the Son has life. He'll give you new life, certainty of heaven, victory in this world over the things of the world, and eternal treasure. You will have all things in him, and that includes joy unspeakable and full of glory. Wonderful expression, that. Joy that's so great you can't talk about it, and it's so full of glory it blinds your eyes. And it's all in Jesus Christ. I don't promise you a supernatural vision, but God promises you eternal life. In him is all and in all you can possibly need, for he is all and in all. If you'll open your hearts to him today and trust him, you can meet the new year in the assurance that underneath are everlasting arms, and about you the surrounding love of the Lord Jesus and the company of angels. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the assurance we have. Our God is a God who does all things well, and he's able to do whatsoever he wills to do, because he's a God of life and glory, and all things are his, and he is with us. For those here today, Lord, who know him not, may they come to this blessed assurance that he is their Savior, for they've come by faith to him. And he says that those who come, he will not cast out. We pray thee that it shall be so today as they receive him. We pray it in his name. Amen.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was the late Chancellor of BJU, Dr. Bob Jones, Jr. For a cassette copy of today's message, send a check for $5.13 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.